Welcome to another Kingdom Studies series of sermons. We're in the 18th chapter of the book of Revelation. We have the collapse and the civil war of the Antichrist kingdom because God has put it in the hearts of these people to turn on each other. God allowed it to happen. He allowed Satan to do what he did to bring about his glory, God's glory. Let me read up here where we are. After these things, I saw another angel coming down out of heaven, having great authority, and earth was illumined with his glory. And he cried out with a mighty voice or sound, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the great, and she has become a dwelling place of demons, and a prison of every unclean spirit, and a prison of every unclean, hateful bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the passion of her immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her, and merchants of the earth have become rich with the wealth of her sensuality." And I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, that you may not be participating in her sins, that you may not receive her plagues. For her sins have been piled up as high as heaven, for God has remembered her iniquities." Here we have Lex Talionis. "Pay her back, even as she has paid. Give her back double, according to her deeds, in the cup which she has mixed. Mix twice as strong for her, to the degree that she glorified herself and lived sensuously. To the same degree, give her torment and mourning, for she says in her heart, 'I said as a queen, and I am not a widow, and I never will see mourning.' For this reason, in one day her plagues will come, pestilence and mourning and famine, and she will be burned with fire. She will be baptized in fire. For the Jehovah Elohim, who judges her, is strong." Verse 9. "And the kings of the earth, who committed acts of immorality and lived sensuously to her." This immorality here, this is spiritual fornication. They have partaken of her religion. Now, the Bible says Antichrist will become on the scene. The Bible says that there will be a beast, and the Bible says there's going to be a false prophet, the unholy trinity. Islam talks about the Mahdi, the Imam Mahdi that will come forth, 40 years old. He will come and he will be a reluctant leader, but they will swear allegiance to him. He will begin the caliphate, as ISIS is trying to do today. There will be a beast arise out of Mecca, near Mecca, that is, out of Arabia. He will come and he will mark all of the true believers of Islam with a logo, the name, or the confession of faith of Islam, which is, there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger or prophet or apostle. Now, if this is true, if these two prophecies are what we call juxtaposition, running side by side, the truth and then the true Antichrist. We know that the Antichrist, the Mahdi, is going to be the incarnation of Muhammad. Exactly. He said he will have the spirit, in other words, Muhammad's spirit in him. The same characters as Muhammad. The Bible says that the Antichrist will have the spirit of Satan in him, and that Satan will cohabit with a woman and bring forth this son. I believe the Bible. But it just so happens, maybe, that these Islamic end time signs are saying that they are the ones. They are the confession of faith. Babylon is really Babylon. So many people call Babylon the Church of Rome. But Babylon is Babylon. Conrad Nathan Gulber said in his book, The Revelation, that he believed that Babylon was really Babylon. Rome was Rome. It is the worldwide religion of the Antichrist. If it is the Islamic State, which we're seeing all over the world, every place Islam goes, there is trouble. And they try to take over. They try to bring in Sharia law into all provinces where they go. They do not accept. They do not amalgamate into the people. They are separate, and they demand to be heard on pain of great riots and everything, and death. Now the kings are going to start lamenting. If this is true, that Islam also says that Saudi Arabia will be destroyed in the last days. The book of Revelation says it will be. If this is true, Babylon that we're talking about burning, and the nations that have gotten rich over her oil, just recently in the last year or so, OPEC has absolutely broke the Western world of their oil producing because they've sold their oil so cheap that many of the independents in America are dying, gone broke. Can't afford to produce oil. If this is it, if this is what we're talking about, it's very easy. One Muslim group will kill the other, as we know. Iraq, Iran, Syria, Lebanon, Arabia. These countries are in constant state of civil war, killing each other. Now, God is going to cause this eternal, internal wrath and civil war among this state of the Antichrist. And the kings of the earth committed acts of immorality and lived sensuously with her and wept and lament over her when they see the smoke of her burning. Former Islamic people say this is the oil fields of Saudi Arabia. They believe this. Standing at distance because of the fear of her torment, saying, "Woe, woe, the great city, ooh-ah, ooh-ah," as it says in Greek, the great city Babylon, the strong city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come, and the merchants of the earth weep and mourn over her because no one buys cargoes any longer. The ships, the cargoes, and the gold, and the silver, and the precious stones, the pearls. This was the Silk Road. These people had enough power to even buy seats in colleges in America and universities. And demand they have prayer rooms for Islam. Yet you couldn't speak the name of Jesus. Except that he was the son of Mary and not the son of God, as it is in Islam. You can say anything you want to on a campus in America and propagate Islam, but you better not speak and try to convert any Christians or pray in public or have your Bible, but you won't touch the Quran. That's why. That's what we call terrorism. Terrorism. Silk and scarlet and every kind of good-smelling wood, citron wood, and every article of ivory, and every made from very costly wood, and bronze, and iron, and marble, and cinnamon, and spice, and incense, and perfume, and frankincense, and wine, and olive oil, and fine flour, and wheat, and cattle, and sheep, and cargoes of horses, and chariots, and slaves, and human lives. The only place in the world today, basically, that slavery is still in existence is the Islamic world. Wake up. And the fruit you long for has gone from you, and all the things that were luxurious and splendid have passed away from you, and men will longer find them. And the merchants of these things who became rich from her will stand at a distance because of the fear and the torment and the weeping and the mourning, saying, "Woe, woe, ooh-ah, ooh-ah, the great city." This is a tangible city. This is a spiritual city. It is a spiritual malignant city, but it's a real place. It's like the millennial reign is a real millennial reign. She was clothed with fine linen and purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour such great wealth has been laid waste, and every shipmaster and every passenger and sailor, as many as make their living from the sea or by the sea, stood at a distance, crying out as they saw the smoke of her burning, crying, "What a city is like great city." And they threw dust on their heads and were crying out and weeping and mourning and say, "Ooh-ah, ooh-ah, woe, woe, the great city in which all who have ships at sea became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she has been laid waste." You be glad over her. Paybacks. Lex talionis. Karma. Heaven. And the saints. And the apostles. and the prophets, because he judged God with a judgment of you out of her. Rejoice over you, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, because God has pronounced judgment for you against her. Kill them. Now, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, there are many judgments against Babylon. It says here in some of the places that no Arab will pitch his tent there. They will not graze their sheep anymore, their lambs, their camels, their goats, their cattle. And a strong angel took up a stone, like a great millstone, and threw it into the sea, saying, thus shall Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence, and will not be found any longer. Jeremiah 51 and 61. The cross reference to this. Jeremiah 51 and 61. Then Jeremiah said to Sarai, as soon as you come to Babylon, and then see and read all these words. And these are almost the exact words that we have in the book of Revelation. And it will come to pass as soon as you finish reading this scroll, you will tie a stone to it and you'll throw it in the middle of the Euphrates. And say, just so Babylon shall sink down and not rise again because of the calamity that I'm going to bring upon her, and they will become exhausted. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. Let's go on a little further. And the second harper, the sound of the harpist, and musicians and flute players and trumpets will not be heard in you any longer. And no craftsman or any craft will be found in you any longer. And the sound of the mill will not be heard any longer. We're not going to have any work-related noise going on in this place. No work-related noise. And it says here, it's going to come upon her suddenly, with a violent motion, quickly. Thusly, with a violent motion, she'll be thrown down Babylon, the great city. And know not, she may be found any longer. Ezekiel 26, verse 21, cross-reference to this. Verse 22. Music is food for the soul. Music is food for the soul. Do you like good music, Marilyn?
Yeah.
Yeah, you love good music. Music is food for the soul. But there won't be found any music here. There will be found no joyous sounds in this city. No marrying, no giving in marriage, no party time. No music. I might want to say this also while I'm at it. Muhammad was an absolute, they say he had obsessive compulsive disorder character. And one of the things that really bothered him a lot was noises. He wouldn't allow anybody around him at all to weep or wail. He would demand that they be taken away from him. Not only that, but he hated all musical instruments because they made sound. And he hated dogs because dogs barked. He didn't want any of these noises. Now in modern Islamic people, even though Muhammad didn't like these things, they'll play guitars and sing praises to Mama, Muhammad, and Allah. But here, there won't be any more singing praises. There won't be any more music. No more music, food for the soul here. Nothing but terror. No noise pollution. A dead calm. No work-related noises at all. No machinery running. No hooves of animals hitting the floor. In some of these countries, they still use a lot of labor from the stock, animals. There won't be any foot tracks, no footprints, no foot track noises in these areas. No engines starting up. No machines running. And the sound of harpists and musicians and flute players and trumpeteers will not be heard any longer. No craftsman of any craft will be found in you any longer, and the sound of a mill will not be heard in you any longer. No production. No machinery. No industry. And the light of a lamp will no longer shine any longer. No more bright lights in big cities. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride will... Now this is like parenthetical here. And the voice of the bride and the bridegroom will not be heard any longer. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, because all the nations were deceived by your sorcery, by your spiritual deception. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints. And all had been slain on the earth during this period of time. Let's look over here for just a moment what we're talking about. We're talking about the very end of the tribulation period right now. We have the church age that we live in. We have a rapture, which I believe is going to happen just prior to the tribulation period. We have Israel coming into the land. We have Israel having a temple built. And keep remembering this, that during the first 3.5 years, the Mahdi, according to Islam, is going to reign for 7 years. It's going to reign for 7 years. The Antichrist, according to the Bible, is going to reign for 7 years. The Bible said the beast is going to rise. The Quran says, and the Sunnahs and the Hadith say that the beast will arise out of Arabia. He will mark all the true believers. He will also mark all of those that won't believe in Allah with a black face. And they're destined for hell. The Bible says that he's going to mark 144,000 Jews during this last period of time right here. But the Israelites will have a temple in Jerusalem. Islam is going to move the Kaaba to Jerusalem because they know something's going to happen in Arabia. They just have a feeling something's going to happen there. This Islamic end time eschatology. So, right here in the middle of this time, we're going to have a man, the Antichrist or the Mahdi. He's going to stand up and say that he is God, and they worship him. Satan always wanted to be worshipped as God. Well, Israel is going to flee because the Bible says, when you see this desolation, abomination, desolation take place right here in the 3.5 years, the first 3.5 years is going to be a time of somewhat peace. Islam makes treaties of hudna, which means a temporary peace, so they can gain an advantage. If that's what's going on here. The things that I see today, I wrote my doctor's thesis in 1980. That's 36 years ago. I thought that I believed all this, that Babylon was going to rise again and it was going to be Rome and that she would become powerful, that I believed that the Antichrist would be a Jew for the Jews to ever believe him. I thought all this stuff that most of the writers of the book of Revelation believe. But as I've seen these things come about, as I've seen these Islamic, former Islamic speakers speak of this stuff, and now we have access to the Quran, the Hadith, and the Sunnah, I think we'd have changed our mind 30 years ago if we'd had that access. Now we do. Dr. Carl E. Farah told me a long time ago, he said, Brother Jim, all my students, he said, you will see things take place that I never did because I'm not going to live much longer. He was the oldest living muscular dystrophy victim. But he said, you're going to see things take place that I never understood. You're going to understand the Bible better than I ever did. He was right. Boy, have things fallen in place in the last 10, 15 years. I am so surprised to see what I see now. Let's go on a little further. Yeah. It's there. Revelation, the 19th chapter. Verse 18:24 again. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints, and all who had been slain on the earth. The Catholic Church has slain from this period of time here, there, until the Protestant Reformation. They slew between 50 and 100 million Christians. I don't know how many Islamic people they killed. But Islam has, from this period of time right here, in 610 AD, 615 AD, after that exodus from Mecca to Medina, they have killed 270 million people. And still killing people every day by the tens and twenties and hundreds. No, Islam is not a religion of peace. I don't care if George Bush says it. I don't care if George Bush Sr. says it. I don't care if Hillary says it. I don't care if Bill Clinton says it. I don't care if Obama says it. Islam is not a religion of peace. It is a religion of turmoil. And every place they've gone in the world, they've caused trouble and killed people. But it's not politically correct to say that today. You can't go out in public and pray in the name of Jesus and the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But you can pray in the name of Allah where you want to go. You can't put up the Ten Commandments, but you can worship the Quran as if it was God. Supposedly, in Guantanamo Bay, they flushed the Quran down the toilet. Now, how many churches were torched? And how many people died over that false report? Didn't even happen. Meditate. What it says in Revelation 19 and verse 1. After these things I heard, as it were a loud voice, a great multitude in heaven saying, boy, this is good news. By the way, the cross references to the last verse is Isaiah 24:8, Ezekiel 26:13, Matthew 9:23, Ecclesiastes 12:4, and Jeremiah 25 and verse 10. And now we're over here in this glorious chapter of the book of Revelation. I love chapter 19 of the book of Revelation. I just love it. Jesus wins! Jesus wins! Boy, that's good news. I'm tired of the devil. I'm tired of his temptation. I'm tired of his torment all of my life. I'm tired of him dogging me. I'm tired of him dogging God's churches. And here, God's tired of it. Did you hear that Oklahoma accent, tarred of it? Tarred and feathered, you know, tarred. Meditate, after these things I heard. As a voice great of a crowd, an Oklu. That's thousands here. 5,000, 10,000. Much. That says it's a whole lot. In the heaven. Saying, hallelujah, hallelujah. That means praise Jehovah, praise Jehovah. That's what hallelujah means, praise Jehovah. Hallel means to shine, to cause to shine. The Septuagint translators put the wrong breather on it saying hallelujah, hallelujah. And it came over in the King James Version, but it means hallelujah, hallelujah. John didn't make this mistake in the book of Revelation. It's got that rough breather on it there. Hallelujah. It's repeated four times in Revelation 19. 1, 3, 4, and 6. The Hallelujah chorus of Revelation. This is an inspired song. The holy city, New Jerusalem, shall be placed in orbit as a moon over the earth and over Jerusalem for 1,000 years. Make the name of Jehovah shine. That's what the word hallelujah means. The Hebrew hallel means to shine or to polish or to make bright. Cause to shine. Hallelujah. Salvation. The salvation. And the glory. Psalm 104, 105, 106. These are all titled hallelujah songs. Hallelujah songs. And the power, the dynamis of the God, belonging to God of us. Because true and just, the judging, the acts of decisions, the just decisions of Him. Jeremiah 51:48, Psalm 104:35. Revelation 11:15, 17, 19, 3-6. Psalm 104, 105, 106 again. Three words in Greek that refer to music and praise. Psalmos. Psalmos means to make music or to pluck a string. This means a stringed instrument like a guitar, like a piano. It's got strings in it. Like a harp. These all have strings. It means reciting praise and glorifying God with instruments. Hymnos. We got a word hymn right out of the word hymnos, which is a word of praise. In old time, to deify man or hero or God. In the New Testament, means to brag on Jesus. That's a hymnos. And then we have an ode. An ode was a song that you sang in battle or sang in harvest. Out here on this farm, I heard my grandmother singing. I heard my grandmother out here on this farm picking cotton, singing with the. They had a lot of black people back then. My grandmother was a Chickasaw Indian. And she loved to sing. And when she worked, she sang and she whistled. And she'd get out in here, out in these fields, and I mean it'd be 120 degrees out here in these fields. She'd have a gallon of water, a gallon water jug, glass water jug, like an old vinegar bottle or something. And she'd wrap it up with Tosak's bag. Tosak, you used to get potatoes and onions and Tosak's, 100-pound Tosak's. She'd wrap that Tosak around her and tie it up and sew it all around that thing. And then soak it with water on the outside and keep it cool, keep it in the shade. And we'd go down that cotton field and we'd pick cotton in those big long sacks. Sometimes I'd ride on her cotton sack. Sometimes I'd be carrying my little cotton sack and sticking all the cotton I could in it. It was a miserable time with the bugs biting, the flies biting you, mosquitoes biting you, itching all over. And my grandmother would sing herself into glory. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. She'd talk about a cabin in a corner of glory land. She didn't want to be here. These black people out there and her, they were singing themselves into heaven. And they'd just cry and they'd sing and they'd pick their cotton. That's a hallelujah chorus. Hallelujah chorus. 19 and verse 2. Because he judges the harlot, the great harlot, who she kept on defiling the earth. This harlot, this is a false religious system. Islam says it's her that they're going to bring in the truth. The Bible says it's that this Antichrist system that Islam says they are, the true Mahdi and the beast and the false. And the prophet, the false prophet, Isa, or Jesus, that will kill all the Jews and then kill all the Christians and break all religions. This is the Jezebel of Revelation. The mother of all lies. 1 Kings 21:14. That kept on defiling the earth with spiritual fornication of her. And he vindicated the blood. He meted out justice. That's what it says. Ekdikio. He meted out justice. Third person singular, first aorist, dative active. He meted out justice. He gave out justice. There are much demonic power in false religion. And much demonic delusion in false religion. The inhabitants of the earth in these countries over here will be judged for what they have done to God's people. Servants of him out of the hand of her. Vindicated the blood of the servants of him out of the hand of her. They had killed her. Psalm 19 and verse 9. Deuteronomy 32:43. 2 Kings 9:7. Revelation 16:16-17, 17:1, 16:6, and 18:20. Cross reference to this. And secondly, they have said hallelujah. And the smoke of her, it goes up unto the ages of the ages. Now God's prayers of the people go up like incense up to God. Now the smoke of the torment of this wicked religion goes up, and God smells the smoke of her torment like it's incense in his ears, in his nose, nostrils. 19 and verse 4. And the 24 elders and the four living beings fell down and worshiped God who sits on the throne. Again, we have the word hallelujah. Praise Jehovah. Amen. So be it. Truthful. Amen means to prop up. It came all the way from the Persian language, amen, into the Hebrew language, amen, into the Greek language, amen, into the English language, amen. And what it means is to prop up, to stand up for it, or to support it. We support and praise God and cause the name of Jehovah to shine. Cause the name of Jehovah to shine. Most affirmatively, amen. And the voice from the throne, it came out saying, ye praise to the God of us, all the servants of him, and the ones fearing him, and the ones small and the ones great, the ones mikroi, the little giddy guys and the great guys. This means the common man and the kings. Psalm 22 and verse 23, 135 and verse 1, 115, 13, 134 and verse 1, and a Revelation 11 and 18 are cross-references this verse. We have a change of scenery. Come God's wrath toward the God-haters, to the love of God toward His beloved. From the wrath of God toward the God-haters and the perverts, spiritual perverts, to the love of God for His people. 19 and verse 6. And I heard as the sound of a great crowd, of a crowd much, uklu poloi, a great crowd, and as the sound of waters. This is figurative speaking for people. Waters are people. I remember one time when Marilyn and I went up to Yosemite. We went back in there and we went and had lunch right above this creek, and it just roared. That creek just roared. That the waters roared like voices, the voice of water. The voice of waters many. And as the sound of brontone, that's where we get the word brontosaurus, as big sound, thunders. Thunders was the voice of God speaking from the heavens, the Jews said. And strong, saying, hallelujah again. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thus calls and makes shine the name of Jehovah. And because He reigned, the Lord, the God of us, Jehovah, the Elohim of us, the El Shaddai, the Almighty, Jeremiah 51:48, Ezekiel 1:24, Psalm 93:1, 97:1, 99:1, Revelation 11:15, 19:1, 6:1, 1:8, Revelation 19:1, 3, 4, and 6. Praise ye Jehovah, because He's reigned. Jehovah Elohim El Shaddai, God Almighty. The Hallelujah Psalms, 104, 105, 106. Israel had forfeited her way as the administrators of God's kingdom during the church age. Israel had forfeited her right as administrator of God's kingdom during the church age because she rejected the kingdom of God when Jesus came to her. The king of Israel came to Israel here. He was born in the right place. He was born at the right time. He was born from the right family, carried down into Egypt, brought back, raised in Nazareth. When he was 30 years old, he began to show himself as the king of Israel. He went and preached in the synagogue there in Nazareth, and they tried to kill him because he said he was God, and the scriptures were being fulfilled in him. We see at this last time here that Israel is going to be prepared to rule and be the administrator of God's kingdom on earth again during this period of time. That's what we're talking about, that preparation of Israel to take over the reins of God's kingdom on earth. God's not finished with them. Let us rejoice and be glad. Verse 7. And be glad and give glory to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and His bride has made herself ready. Let's look at that. We're not talking about the saved here. May we rejoice, and may we exalt, and may we give the glory to Him, because it has come, the marriage, ho gamos, the marriage of the Lamb. Now there's an old saying, when you marry up, it's hypergamos. When you marry down, it's hypogamos. Jesus is marrying a chaste virgin. She has kept herself ready for Him. The parables of the 10 virgins are not, if that is not the bride. Those are the friends of the bride. Some of them were ready and some of them weren't. We're not talking about the bride. They weren't the bride. Israel is not the bride. Never will be the bride. Israel's Israel. The bride, the church is the church, and the church is the bride. Now, not all members of New Testament churches are going to be in the bride. But you must be a member of a New Testament church to be in the bride. You don't have to be a member of a New Testament church to be in the family of God or the kingdom of God. Or to be represented, we have all of these people that are dying during the tribulation period over here. It says they will rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Some of these that die and give their lives, these martyrs are special to God. The bride, it lives during the church age. Those faithful people like Peter, Paul, James, Luke. Luke followed Paul around all over the place, taking care of him as his doctor. We had people that followed Paul and were his secretaries as they wrote down the Word of God, the Nemesis. These people that gave their lives. Paul had a footman. Paul had a butler that helped take care of him. He was very sick. Very aged and very, very plagued with something. That he prayed to God 3 times for God to deliver him from it, and God didn't do it. He left Timothy sick. God doesn't always heal people, even when they had the power of healing. These special people in that tribulation period are going to have some special rewards for giving their lives and for going. They're not part of the bride, but they have special rewards. All of those people that were prophets in the Old Testament have a special place with God, but not part of the bride. The bride is here and now during this church age. You have an opportunity, if you will give your life to the Lord, all your life, all of your energies, that you might be in that bride. Bride is not salvation. Bride is going to sit there with Christ. Special. Most of the religious world does not know what the bride of Christ is. They think it's all the saved. All of this. The whole Old Testament, New Testament, all that. That's not what the bride is. What'd you say, Marilyn?
Well, you said a sentence just before you finished this one.
Well, I can't remember what it was, so if you can't repeat it, I can't repeat it because it's done gone. All right. 19. Let us rejoice. It was given to her in order that she might be clothed around. Subjunctive mode. You may or you may not be clothed around with fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. It says over here that she has prepared that she has prepared herself. That's a third person accusative singular feminine third person pronoun. She has prepared herself. That's nominative singular feminine third person pronoun. Reflexive. In covenant relationship, she has been faithful. I don't understand all I know about this. But this bride is going to be special to the Lord. This bride is already going to be in heaven with Him for 7 years. She is His wife. Faithfulness is rewarded. Faithfulness is rewarded. Faithfulness is rewarded during the tribulation period and during the church age in a special way. Verse 19, and that's where we're going to go. 19:9. And he said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Those ones that are invited as guests to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're not talking about the bride. We're talking about the guest. We're talking about the 10 virgins. We're talking about all the guests, all the servants. Blessed is the one, right? And blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are true words of God. True words of God. We'll finish right there. We'll start our next class right at 19 and verse 9. Thank you for listening to these set of messages, these set of sermons on the kingdom of God. And the last part of it here, since chapter about 36 is the apocalypse, the kingdom of God and the apocalypse. We started at 19 and 1, or 18 and 1, and we've gone over here to 19:9. 18:1 to 19:9. I hope you have learned something from this. These lessons. This is number 59. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that Your Word goes out. Tonight it'll be out all over the world. I pray that You convict sinners of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. I pray, Father, that You lead all of Your saved people to a closer walk with You. Help me to be a vessel of honor for You. Help me to worship You and to preach Your Word faithfully. Forgive me, Father, where I fail You in my life. Help these words to go out and glorify You. In Jesus' name we pray and for Your honor and glory, we ask it. Take Your Spirit with this word. We know that when we preach the Word of God, that it will not return unto You void. These things we ask in Your Savior's powerful name. Amen.